I swear to God, I missed a chord on that guitar, and it's recorded guitar music. Anyway, Fishing Frank here, Captain Tom Fisher on the line, my good buddy Fish. What's up out in the world of fishing, Mr. Fish?
Well, I kind of changed it up here the last couple, yesterday and today. We have gone to mackerel fishing and bluefish and cobia and sharks. And they're all hitting good. They're all in the harbor.
Now, I've heard a lot about the bluefish lately. That's kind of freaky this time of year.
Big bluefish. Great big bluefish. 5 pounds and better.
Wow.
They're running right with the mackerel. And in the mackerel, you have the cobia, ladyfish. But and there's herds of them out there. Every kind of stretch that you can find out there, whether it's an artificial reef, a sunk boat, a piling, anywhere there's a good current, you know, a rip around the corner, you know, any kind of anything that sticks out, that's where they're at. And it's been the last year that I've just got off the water. But we did really good today. We're catching ladyfish, we're catching Spanish mackerel and bluefish, and we're having a good time. And one of the people on my boat said, "Captain, look down here, there's sharks hanging out." I looked down and there's two cobia just in the current behind the boat. And we ended up catching one of those. They're not monsters. They're not the ones you hear about, the 40, 60 pounders or up.
What I've been hearing is about between 30 and 40 inches.
Yep, pretty much that's what they are, between 30 and 40 inches. And there's a lot of them, it seems like. And so we had a good time doing that, and then we moved over to the bank, brought some ladyfish, and we caught some sharks. A lot of spinners in here right now, black tips. Didn't catch any, believe it or not, didn't catch any bulls, and didn't catch any hammers, didn't catch anything out of the ordinary, but just black tip and spinners. And we caught a few of those, and that was pretty much right. Because I mean, you know, what we're doing is we're fishing the deeper water in the mornings right now. We're having a lower tide. So you can get out there as that tide's coming back, coming in. You can get out there and do a few hours. We did about four and a half hours of it because it was so fun. But get out there and just fish and let that tide come back in and start getting into the back bays again. Then you're back bay fishing in the afternoon. Plus, you're closer to home for your afternoon thunderstorms and stuff, so you can get off faster. So you're not stuck way out in the harbor if you're trying to do it vice versa.
Right.
So today we caught a bunch of snook. Snook bit really well today. Caught a couple redfish. They bit well. We were sight casting everything.
Really? Is that clear?
Yep.
My boat's actually sitting on the trailer, on the ramp. I cleaned it, fixed most of it. I still got other stuff to fix, and it's waiting to be. I backed it down, ran it, changed all the filters and stuff, got it running and everything else. And now I was supposed to go out today, but Austin called in. He's visiting his grandma, so he got day off, and Barb took the day off, so I've been working all day. I just got a chance to start making some calls, and you were first one I called, my buddy Tom Fisher, the captain of captains, fish of fish, the fish man himself.
10-4. Well, we like I said, we did really good today. The water on the back bay that we're sight casting these fish, I'm casting to the sand holes, and you can see there's a shot out in that sand hole, and there's usually two or three. And you'll pop those, and you'll get one out of it, and that blows that little sand hole up, and you kind of move around. There's a line, if you go on the inside of your, I call it a reef, sandbar.
Right.
About half of that is clear, and the other half against the bank is just milk. So what that's actually doing is it's actually pushing them out of that milk out to the for the clearer stuff.
Now, what I'm thinking is most of that milk is caused from the vegetation. A lot of decaying algae back there right now. And
absolutely.
It's not safe for the fish. I mean, the oxygen levels get so low back there that the fish are dying. And so they're absolutely getting out away from it. The oxygen levels get low. We lose a lot of little fish. This year could, 2 years from now, we might have another bad redfish year because this could kill off a lot of fry.
Well, the redfish are good in spots, it seemed like, this year. You know, the wintertime, we caught a lot of rats. And we're catching them. Not everybody has the holes they like to use because they catch fish there, and they're going there, and they're catching fish. I don't know that the redfish numbers are up very good.
No, they're down this year. A lot less redfish.
If you start burning the bank, if you start fishing the bank in the shoreline, and you go down a mile of shoreline fishing it, and on your trolling motor and just flipping and whatnot fishing, you may see one here, one there, one here, one there. Or before, when you saw one, you'd see 10.
Right.
And then you may not see them for a while, and then you'd see one, you'd see 10 or 20, you know. And now you're doing the same thing, but you're seeing singles and maybe singles and doubles. I have a few holes that I'm doing that's producing right now. I catch them in lease. So I put them back. So a reusable resource for my business.
But I will tell you, Tom, two, 3 years ago, a real bad red tide in October, November, right as the spawn was happening.
Yeah. And I'm just seeing that the numbers in redfish are just absolutely...
That's from two, 3 years ago. And that's what I'm saying about this, is when you get these events like this that happen, now like milky water in the backcountry, where you got so much decaying algae, it doesn't affect the redfish this year. 2 years from now and 3 years from now is when we'll see the decline. You know, next year we should have a good population because all these fish will be in slot next year. But the year after or the year after that, we'll see another real slow year on redfish. You always got to watch what it was 2-3 years ahead before.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, on a brighter, happier, cheerier, lots of fruit adjective stuff, peaches and all that kind of things. The fishing's actually pretty good right now.
Oh, it's good. And don't get me wrong, you can go out and catch a redfish pretty good. It's just the numbers aren't there. But, I mean, if you take some time and you work some bushes, you'll end up with your redfish.
But now, if you're on the east side of the harbor, stay outside in clear water.
Stay out. Always stay in the clear water. Anytime you see it milky, your bait's going to die if you're using any kind of a bait, and the fish aren't going to be there anyhow. I mean, if you can look at it, you go, ooh. And then also, it has a real pungent, it has a real distinct odor. It's, you know, it smells like rotten eggs. And all that grass in there, it's floating, you know, the big black blobs.
Yeah, the stuff that looks like sewage and smells like sewage.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all floating and moving now. So hopefully we get a bunch of rain quick, and we get a flow coming out of the rivers and get this thing swirling and get offshore. It's a couple of hill tides, and it'll straighten everything out a little bit better.
Yeah, the hill tides will help. I'm just going on my website to the weather and tides and looking at the Peace River flow chart. Ooh, doesn't look like we're going to get any water. She's down to 1.1 foot in Arcadia, and we need 2 feet to get water coming at us. So,
yep, that's what I'm saying. We need a bunch of rain fast.
yeah, we need rain up by Wachula, Orlando, you know, flush that water down to us. But, yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to flush out. But we're getting into some hill tides this week, and the tarpon fishing should pick back up. That should be going big guns sometime this week.
Absolutely. The moon phase is coming around. So you'll be walking to a full moon. So we're looking forward to really turn on to. And that might be some of the reasons that some of these offshore fish are coming in here, because it's so warm in here.
Yeah.
And
now we've got some good flushing tides tonight. Yeah. Actually, this afternoon, it went from at Boca, boy, it was sitting at just about 2 foot, going all the way down to about a negative 4 or 5.
It's been up the last three nights. I mean, it's been a big drop in the afternoon. And the tarpon are biting. I mean,
I was wrong. It's a morning. No, it says 12:54 p.m. That's afternoon. Going down to 8 o'clock.
Right, it was a high tide today around 1 o'clock.
About 1 o'clock, yes, sir.
There's a hard flush out.
Yeah, and tomorrow we've got the big hill tide as well. Big flush tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But that's going to be about 1:30 tomorrow is when that tarpon tide's going to start.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It's always an hour later every day.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's going to help suck some of that water out of here, too. And that's going to help. We need that. Anyway, so now your best recommendations for people, go out in the middle of the harbor, use the center of the harbor in the morning while your tide is low, and then sometime late in the morning switch, get up onto the flats, do a little snook red fishing out by the sandbars, and call it a day for once just before the storms hit.
Exactly. Well, and the big thing is, you know, the storms aren't worth it. You know, I mean, they're going to get one around between 3 and 6. You're going to have something. You're going to run around and wait for them.
Isn't the sea breeze getting pretty bad around 2:30?
Yeah, sea breeze is picking up and kicking in pretty good, but you don't notice it as much because you're already, like I said, I was going through the middle and the deeper stuff early in the morning. Feel that dude, and now it's coming off of it. Now I'm in the back bay, so you're usually protected in the back bay on the fly, and you don't really, I mean, it's a nice cool breeze, but it's not doing anything to your water.
Right.
And it's going against your water, so it's kind of slick in there. But, you know, this lightning and these afternoon storms, you know, that's, I see people just sitting through them and fishing, and, I mean, Florida is the highest capital state for lightning strikes.
Oh yeah, we're number one in lightning deaths every year.
Yeah, every year, and that's, you know, fishing not worth, there's nothing worth it. So, I always suggest using better sense and better judgment. And I mean, if you can see it, if you can see the lightning strike or hear the thunder, you're in the zone to get hit. I mean, you could possibly hit. So. Keep that in mind and have somewhere you can go and get out of it. And
when I was hit by lightning, it was in the parking lot of the store, and the storm was maybe by I-75. You could see the black clouds in there over by close to I-75.
Right.
And clear blue sky over the top of me, and I was knocked unconscious in the parking lot by a bolt of lightning. So. The storm doesn't even have to be over you. If you can see it, it's dangerous.
Exactly. And I'm warning you, the highest object. So that's something for people to keep in mind.
Oh yeah.
We're not having a very good boating year this year, safety wise out there. So I don't know.
I think. When the weather gets a little rough, remember to put your kill switch on. And that's that little rubber, you know, that little plastic line that goes to your, down and attaches to your center console or to your ignition area. And put that kill switch on. And that way, if anything does happen, the motor stops, the boat stops. And that's really kind of critical to stay out of trouble when you're out there in the water. It's like wearing a life jacket. We never want to do it, but... You know, it's really not that bad of an idea.
Well, when things get bad, you get them out and get them prepared. At least for 9 and a half, you can't get to. But, kill switch, the kill cords are a huge factor. And more people are, I've seen more things of people wearing them. And I absolutely wear them.
Well, that kill cord... is there for one reason. If you're driving the boat and you fall down or you fall out, everything stops. And that's kind of critical. And you run a tower boat, so having that kill switch on there is a big deal.
Exactly.
I mean, you know...
And I know what swims in the water. I want that boat to stop so I can get back on.
Yeah. And the difference is, if you have a smaller boat, you have cable steering. And cable steering is noted for, if you're not holding onto the wheel tight, it will make a hard 90-degree turn on you. It will literally try and whip a U-turn if you let go of the wheel. And the problem with hydraulic steering is it won't do that, and it won't throw you out of the boat. But if you happen to fall out, it's not stopping till it hits Texas. It's going in a straight line. If you've got your boat pointed west, it's going to go west till you run out of gas. It's not going to turn around and come back to you. So, yeah, we've had a couple of guys who had to go across the harbor to get their boat because they fell out of the darn thing, and it went all the way to the other side. Buddy borrowed my boat and did that. Fell out of it. I had to go get him and then go get the boat. Luckily, his cell phone still worked.
Wow.
Yeah, and the hydraulic steering just kept going straight. We found it buried in the mangroves on the other side.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well,
that was 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, 26 years ago or something like that.
Well, we have so many boaters out there today that and waders and kayakers and so much going on in the water. It's such a busy place this time of year, and especially the Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Oh, yeah, this is right now the peak of tourist season. This isn't snowbird season. This is the peak of tourist season, and people think things slow down, but really the fishing, this is the high peak usage of the water down here. FWC is doing a safe boating campaign. You know, wear your kill switch, wear your life jacket, you know, look behind you when you're running. As a charter boat captain, you know how rare that is. Most people never look behind them when they're running. And that can cause a lot of problems because you got one guy who thinks he's going real fast at 35, and another guy's doing 55 coming up past him, and he goes to cut to the right or left, and there's that other boat right there. Always check your blind spots before you turn.
That is true. And there's just so many different people on experience and different levels of your experience that are on the water. It's just a busy, busy time of year down here right now, and anything you can do to make it safer for you and for others is a great thing to
and
do right now.
Yours and mine and your recommendation, my recommendation, Danny, Ronnie, Rhett, everybody always says, guys, try and book a couple trips in September. It's beautiful here, and there's plenty of tarpon. There's all kinds of fish, and it's the slowest point of the year in Florida. When the snowbirds aren't here yet, there's no tourists. If you're coming down to fish, September's like the best month at this point because nobody knows about it.
Yeah, our fish stay here all the way through until, you know, we get the first or second good cold front in October even.
Right.
We have white
now, you don't really go, you do a lot of hunting come fall. When does your hunting season start?
Well, the archery season starts June 1st. It starts August 1st.
Yeah.
So I usually do a week or so of archery in August, and then I come out the woods and I try to get out on the weekends, but then I work during the week. But, we have September and October are great redfish months. That's when they come into spawn. So,
got big redfish, you got tarpon, you got snook,
yep.
You got all these fish, and there's virtually nobody out there. There's literally a tenth of the boats that's out there right now.
Exactly.
So, if you're listening out there and you want to do something, call Captain Tom Fisher, book a trip, and, try September out sometime. And there's plenty of great fishing, you know. We appreciate you being here now. Thank you for coming to Florida in May and June. We love you. We appreciate you. But, if you're one of those that, you know, likes to get off the beaten path a little bit, September might be the time.
That's a great time.
So, anyway, Tom, anything else we should go over today? Any advice for the angler outside of what you already gave? Just a quick recap. Okay, middle of the harbor, Spanish, bluefish, ladyfish, lots of fun stuff, sharks, probably cobia, and then get back right behind the sandbar on the flats and do some snook and redfish, late morning.
Absolutely.
And then go out.
Thunderstorms in.
After that, go out and when that tide really starts dropping and try and hit your tarpon.
Yes, sir.
So that pretty much covers the day.
Oh, yeah, that's a full day.
I think you did good, Tom.
Well, we do it every day, so. And it changes every day. You just got to be able to bounce with it and, take it as it comes.
All right. Well, we will catch up with you later. Anything else you want to add?
That's about it for today.
All right. Let's see some exit. One of these days I'm actually going to get good at this. But thank you, Tom. The crowd loves you. Hey, everybody. Yes. Captain Tom Fisher. Okay. And here we go. Little exit stage left. This is Fish and Frank here in the chair. We got Captain Tom Fisher on the phone and Fishbone Charters. Click the link right next to him. Give Tom a call, book a charter, whether it's now or later in the year. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's some great fishing to be had right now, from the small ladyfish mackerel into the bigger bluefish, the cobia, sharks, snook, redfish, and on into the early afternoon with the tarpon. So, great time to be on the water. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, boys and girls, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.